Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. We got a great show planned. We'll be starting off the show with an interview with a member of a Southside group called The Auditions, who cut a really nice record, and we even have some unreleased material, which is really great, that we will be playing. So, first of all, can you introduce yourself?
Hi, Rex Alexander.
Okay. Thanks so much for coming down. So, first of all, what part of Chicago are you from?
South Side, Chicago.
What specific area of the South Side?
I lived in Ida B. Wells all of my young life.
Okay. I haven't talked to many people. I mean, there's a ton of groups from that area, but from Ida Wells, only the Triplet Twins so far I've talked to are from there. So you have a new perspective on the South Side.
Yeah.
So first of all, how did you get started singing?
Well, actually, I sang in a choir at Holy Angels. It was grammar school that I went to. I was singing in a choir. I had never done anything, you know, secular stuff. And one day I was actually with a friend of mine who sang in a group called The Topics. His name was Lonnie Hampton. And I went to one of his rehearsals. And so I was just singing along with him, practicing with him. And one day Lonnie said, "Well, why don't you sing?" And no, I don't sing. I play baseball. And at that time I was doing some other stuff. But
okay.
But I was playing baseball and I didn't really want to get involved with singing like that. And so we were walking down the hallway at a Darryl Holmes, and these three guys that Lonnie had been working with, singing, trying to get them to start a singing group. Lonnie said, "Here's your fourth man you all was looking for. Let him sing with you." And they said, "No, we don't want him singing with us. He's a gangbanger."
Okay.
And so they started singing a song, an old impression song, "I've Been Trying."
Okay.
And I filled in and did the bass, did the bottom note for him, and that was it. That's how we got started.
Do you remember what year that was?
1968.
And you knew Lonnie Hampton and The Topics because they were from your neighborhood?
They're from Ida B. Wells also.
And were they the same Topics? They cut a song. There's a Topics from Chicago that cut a song called "Have Your Fun." Do you know if that's them?
Same Topics.
Okay. So, and I never knew before talking to you that Lonnie Hampton was a singer in the group, because him and Darnell Glover managed a ton of groups from your area, right?
Oh, they managed quite a few of the groups that was out at from the South Side, West Side. They were probably the Berry Gordy, Smokey Robinsons of Chicago.
And one thing that was interesting was all the groups they managed tended to be kiddie groups.
Yeah, well, you know, they were most of the groups were under 18. The Topics were a little older, but all of the other groups that Lonnie and Darnell managed were young guys.
So how much older were the Topics than you?
A year or two.
And how did Lonnie know you could sing?
Like I said, he took me to one of his practices when the Topics was practicing. Lonnie and I played ball, and he took me to one of the practices. And while they were practicing, I would, you know, put a few notes in. "I didn't know you could sing." "Yeah, I can hear."
Okay. So he was managing groups at the same time that he was singing. Also.
Yeah.
And the other guys, the three guys, they were also from Ida Wells?
All of them from Ida B. Wells at that time. Ida B. Wells and Darryl Holmes. Two lived in Darryl Holmes, the other lived in Ida B. Wells.
So when you got together with them, did you have a name originally?
At first we didn't. We just sang. We sang in the hallway, and you know, every now and then we would get a chance to practice at somebody's house. But most of the time it was in the hallway. We would just practice in the hallway, and we thought we sounded good. People walking down the hallway thought we sounded good.
Well, you were practicing in Ida Wells?
Yeah, in the Darryl Holmes hallway. And Darryl Holmes was right across the street from Ida B. Wells.
Okay. And what type of stuff did you sing at the time?
Anything the Temptations did, we could do. We did Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. We did the Intruders. The Artistics, any group that was out, we could do it.
And would you say you were very inspired by sort of the local groups, or at least the Topics, like, inspired you all this thing?
The Topics did. They were the number one group around the area. There used to be quite a few talent shows around, and the Topics always won. They could dance and sing, and that was different than a lot of the other groups would just stand and sing.
Okay.
So they had good choreography.
So when you got together, first of all, who were the four guys that were the initial four guys?
It was Ron Wright, Coco, his name was Linton, and Henry Kersey.
His last name was Linton?
Linton, yeah.
Because there was a group called the Lintons that were a family group. Was he connected to them?
You know, actually, I think he was. And his family, Lonnie was his cousin.
Okay.
And all of Coco's family could sing.
So, but do you know if he was actually a member of the Lintons?
Not
later?
Sure.
Okay. So that original lineup, is that the group that became the Auditions?
That was the group that became the Auditions. That was the group that in 1968 won the famous Regal Theater Talent Show.
So how long had you been together before you did the Regal Theater?
4 months.
Okay. And you got your harmony and everything together that
yeah,
fast?
It was an amazing, actually it was a phenomenon. Lonnie, the first day we practiced in the hall in Darryl Holmes, actually said at that time, he says, if you all stick together, you got a future. And we practiced every day, 4 or 5 hours a day. We would sing in the hallway, it would be cold in the hall, we would sing in the halls, sing on the street corner. And we actually watched how people would come and crowd around and watch us sing and throw dimes.
Okay.
They were really throwing at us.
and you were doing what you said before, like kind of R&B hits of the day, like
yeah.
of all the groups you were singing.
Yeah.
And then was that the first show you ever did, that Regal show?
It was the second. There was another show that was at the high school that I attended, Hales Franciscan. It was the first week in April. And we did that show. And that show was a show that the winner won depended on audience participation. And we felt we were the better group at that time. But a group from the neighborhood, when they sang, didn't sound well, but everybody stood up. So
okay.
they actually won. But we said at that point we would never lose another talent show.
Okay. It was a good motivation for you.
It was motivation.
Do you remember the name of the group that won? Probably
no.
never did anything.
No, I'm sure they did. So they shouldn't have been on that show.
So obviously everybody always talks about doing the Regal Talent Show. Could you talk about how the talent show went? Like,
it was a real interesting development. It's a story that I'm sure most people heard on television, and you'll hear the true version now. The talent shows were always connected to big groups coming in. And at this particular night, the Motown Review was there, Motown Review, and they would travel with Gladys Knight and the Pips, Junior Walker and the All-Stars. A bunch of their stars would come in for the Motown Review. And so we happened to be on the Motown Review night. And that night, there was a fantastic young group there with a young guy who could dance and spin and sing and twirl the mic, and they were very good. We took first place. Interesting thing, the group that took second place was a group that everybody knows quite a bit now.
I know where this is going.
Yeah. It was the Jackson Five. And so when you hear that story on the story of the Jacksons and them being at this talent show and winning the talent show, they actually didn't win the show. But they had the gimmick that we didn't have. They had this young guy, I think Michael at that time was 8 or 9 years old, and because it was in 68, and so that was before they did the Steel Town Big Boy.
Yeah.
And so they actually got the contract that we didn't, and I'll tell you why. Gladys Knight was at that show, and people give Mary Wells, what's her name, Diana Ross.
I know Diana always gets credit, but I heard Bobby Taylor actually discovered.
Bobby Taylor was there that night, and Gladys Knight was there that night, and they were the two that really got the Jacksons into Motown.
Okay.
We, and there's another movie out now, actually got approached that night by Leonard Chess Records.
So first of all, I forgot to ask you, did you have a name by then?
We got the name. Our name, Auditions, came from the fact when we went to audition for the Regal Theater show, we didn't have a name. And it was the Auditions, you know, you audition for the show. And we say, hey, man, that's a great name. And we start calling ourselves the Auditions.
So you actually had to audition just to get into the
just
Regal?
Just to get into the Regal.
So about how many local groups were in the show?
I would say they usually, for the audition, there were quite a few groups because it started like at 3 in the afternoon, then into 9 at night. They used to have the auditions at Burning Spear. And it was a full talent show. So I would say they had about 10 groups, not really sure, but it was at least 10 groups that made the performance night.
And who was screening you at the audition for the talent show? Was it just the people who worked
producers
there?
From the Regal Theater.
And do you remember what song you sang?
I've Been Trying.
Okay. Was that like one of your signature songs?
That was the first song that we sang together in the hall that day when I joined the group.
So, and at the talent show, how did they determine the winner? Was it through audience applause? Or?
Yeah, it was audience applause. And you figure that was a full house there for the Motown Review. So, you know, we had to do it. We got a nice trophy, too, that night.
Do you still have the trophy?
No. So actually, the trophies were destroyed in a fire. I lived with my grandmother at the time, and our house burned down, and a lot of my baseball trophies and that particular trophy from the Regal Theater show got destroyed.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it was sad.
So, but you said at the show you got approached by Leonard Chess.
Leonard Chess.
So what he just saw you perform there?
Saw us perform that night. When we walked off with our trophy. He and a representative actually walked up to us and asked us were we interested. He actually and Purvis Spann, because Purvis Spann was the DJ that night at the. They used to have one of the VON disc jockeys actually MC the show. So it was Leonard and Purvis Spann that actually approached us that night.
And how did you sign with them?
We didn't sign, but we were supposed to meet with them the next morning. It was a Wednesday night. We were supposed to meet with them the next morning. Never went. Lonnie at that time told us. It was a bad idea for us that age to sign contracts. I was the oldest member in the group at that time, and I was 17. And we didn't sign. We stayed with Lonnie and Donnell Glover.
So you just didn't show up for the...
Didn't show up. We did get quite a few gigs after that at the local clubs. The disc jockeys called us quite a bit, so we were out doing a lot of performances then. That actually opened the door for us to start doing live performances.
What are some of the clubs you did shows at?
Burning Spear, the High Chaparral, what was that club on 63rd and Cottage Grove? Can't think of the name, but it was a few of the local clubs around we were at.
And when you did shows, did you have choreography also?
We were probably one, that was actually one of the, other than being able to sing and have good harmonies, we could dance. Lonnie taught good choreography at that time, and I wasn't bad myself, so we were a great stepping group, they used to call it. We could step.
Okay. So, and you were all still in high school, so when were you doing the shows on weekends, or like you actually did on weeknights?
We did weeknights, weekends. Usually shows were to start on Thursday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we would do it, some Sundays. But we were young at that time and didn't do a lot of the performances. Because of the age. We actually had a guy in our group who was afraid of the rain, and so there was nights when it would rain we couldn't perform.
Okay. And did Lonnie, was he the guy that took you around to do all the shows?
Lonnie was the guy.
So you eventually ended up recording with him, is that right?
Yeah, our first actual recording session was with Lonnie Hampton.
And what year was that?
1969-70.
So you were together for about a year or two before you recorded?
Yeah.
And the record you recorded was called Returning Home from Vietnam and Get Set, Be Ready.
That was it.
And most people don't know this, it was actually released twice. And the first version that was released, it was on a label called Get Set.
That's it.
So was that Lonnie Hampton's label?
That was Lonnie and Glover's label.
Darnell Glover?
Darnell Glover.
So did you sign a contract with them, or they just put
it
out?
Well, at that time, we didn't, you know, we weren't into contracts with them. They had started us, and so we did whatever they said.
And what was the lineup of the group on that record, and what part did each person sing?
Ronald Linton, Coco, actually sang lead. Ronald Wright sang tenor. Bertram Henderson sang second tenor, and I sang baritone and bass.
Okay. And I think Ronald Linton was the lead singer of the Lintons.
Yeah, it may have been him.
Later. And he sang in a group called Reality later also. But anyways, So you recorded that record and it got put out on the Get Set label.
Yeah.
And did it get any play?
None.
It's very obscure, especially that first pressing of it. Did people in the neighborhood buy the record?
No, we gave them away.
Okay.
You know, at that time, everybody wanted to show off. And so, hey, we got our record out. So you run around, hey, here, you want one?
And you later... you later redid another version of the song.
Yeah, I actually became a producer myself and started doing a lot of producing. And, of course, the main group was the group I was working with, Ours. Lonnie started working a lot with the Magical Connection, the younger group. At that time.
They became the next movement.
They became the next movement.
Well, let me play the later version because that's all. I don't have the earlier version to play.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about what the story that went up to this.
You got it.
So this is the auditions. And actually, I played this last week during my Vietnam show, so it's cool because it's also a Vietnam record. This is Returning Home from Vietnam. Okay, we're having some issues with the CD player, so I'll move to a different one, and the next record we play will hopefully sound great. So that was just part of the auditions, Returning Home from Vietnam, and I'll play hopefully the version, full version near the end of the interview. And that was actually the second version that was recorded of the record.
Yeah.
So the original version came out around 1969, is that right? So then, when did the second version came out? Early 70s sometime?
Early 70s. Actually, 73.
So what happened in between the period that the first record came out and that record?
Well, there was some group change. Two of the members, Ronald Lenton and Henry Kersey, had left. And we had two other members at that time, Milton Bo Johnson and Lawrence Tank. And those were the two guys that came in. And we had started doing live performances and decided we needed to redo the record too. So
why was there a 4-year gap? Like what happened in between the time?
I had to go to school.
Okay. So, but did the auditions stay together for those 4 years?
Not as the auditions. Coco, Ronald Linton, actually went to sing with the Samirical Temps, another local group.
They were from Stateway.
Stateway Gardens.
Yeah.
Ronald Wright and Bertram Henderson just stayed around. Ronald played baseball, started playing baseball a lot. And I was away trying to get a degree.
Okay, so you came back. Were you living in Chicago when you were away?
No, I was away at Northern.
And when you came back to Chicago, what year was that?
72.
Did you decide to reform the auditions at that point?
Actually, one of the reasons why I decided to come back and not go right into my master's program was to sing again.
Okay, so you reformed, and you already said this, but there were three of the original members?
Three of the original members, Bertram Henderson, Ronald Wright, myself.
Okay, and then how did you know the other two guys?
Milton Johnson lived in the Darrow home, so everybody knew him, and Tank actually came from the Topics.
Okay, so that's interesting.
He was a former lead singer of the Topics.
Oh, so he was a little older than all of you.
He was a year older.
And what's his full name?
Lawrence, I can't even remember his last name, actually. We always called him Tank.
Okay. And he's not the L. Cox on the record, is he?
No.
Okay. So that's interesting. I didn't know one of the topics was on the record.
Actually
is he singing lead on the record?
Yeah.
Okay. So the lead of the topics is singing lead on the record I just played. So that record came out. And you produced the record?
I produced it, did all the, actually changed the harmonies on it. I had really gotten involved in singing. I went away to school and changed the harmonies, and then I actually started doing what Lonnie used to do.
Okay. His name is on the record still, too, right?
Oh, yeah, he still got all the credit. Lonnie is one of a kind, so.
Okay, and that came out on a record label called Freckles.
Yeah.
What's the story with that?
Well, there was a lot of, actually, we didn't know, everybody wanted to name the label something, and Lonnie came up with an idea that what we should do is just put a letter from everybody's name in it. And I think actually what he really wanted to do, his mother was a neat person, and he had never done anything in the music business for her. So she had a lot of freckles on her face, and that was her nickname. He didn't know that I knew that, but
okay. So not only was it his mom's nickname, but the letters corresponded to your names?
Yeah, to us and Lonnie's family.
So it's interesting that you did a Vietnam record twice around the edges of the
war.
Yeah, both sides of the war.
Yep.
So was there anything, like, did you think differently of it, or you're just like, this is just a song, we're going to do
it? No,
we
actually thought a lot different of it, because at the time we re-released it, they were coming home. They were actually coming home. When we first did it, we were hoping that they would come home, and the war was starting. We were just wanting them to come home, and it was interesting, because I think the war ended in 72 when they really started coming home, and so it was perfect timing.
So did you get play ever on the second version of the record?
Got play on the second second time, and the main reason was because at that time I'd start actually being a DJ on WXRT 93.1 on your FM dial.
When was your show?
10:30 on Sunday nights.
And you did it with Darnell Glover?
We were the Sexy Rexy and the Great Black Prince.
So you actually, and you played your own record?
Played our own record.
did other stations pick it up?
Yeah,
all?
They picked it up then. We got some play. Obviously not enough to do the things that we wanted to do with it, but we got play then.
And did you start to perform as the auditions too?
We started performing and decided that we did not want to be the auditions. We were not the auditions anymore. We were not young anymore. And we changed our names.
So did you change your names right after the record came out?
Right after the record came out.
What was your new name?
Oneness.
And how did you come up with that name?
A lot of discussion went on about whether or not we should change, and we came up with Roots of Destiny and the Auditions sequel and all types of crazy stuff. But one of the things, when I'd gone away to school and came back, and I said that the thing that we needed the most was Be As One.
Okay. And that was probably more with this kind of spiritualness of the era
that was
coming out. So so Oneness started to do shows also locally?
Yeah.
Did you do shows at the same clubs you did before?
No, a few of those clubs had closed. High Chaparral was there. As a matter of fact, one of our best performances was at the High Chaparral with the Barquets. We performed as a front group for the Temps once at the Mill Run Theater.
Where was that?
The Mill Run Theater was out in Niles at that time.
Okay.
Niles, Illinois. And we did a couple of other local clubs at that time. The Packing House used to have shows, and we would do the Packing House. We did start doing performances for Budweiser and some of the other local organizations.
And what type of material did you do at your shows as Oneness?
We actually started doing some of our own stuff. And again, Temptations, Intruders, Four Tops, Miracles. Philadelphia Sound was out then, so we started doing some of Harold's and Harold Melvin and Blue Note stuff. We could do anything.
And did you ever travel?
Yeah. Our main place, we used to go out to Cincinnati quite a bit and perform with the Whispers. The Whispers was out in Cincinnati quite a bit, and we was out in Cincinnati performing with them. Indiana we did, Wisconsin we did, so it was local, Midwest.
Why were the whispers in Cincinnati a lot?
I have no idea.
I think
Don Cornelius probably had him out there doing something. It was nice performing in Cincinnati. We did the Holiday Inn and the Riverfront Stadium. And
did you ever appear on the local Soul Train?
Yeah. In 73, that was here, the local Soul Train with Clint Gent. We performed both sides of our coming home from returning home from Vietnam and Get Set, Be Ready. And on that same show, my younger brother won the dance contest. He used to have the dance contest, and he happened to be on the show. I didn't know he was going to be on the show, and there he was.
He upstaged you?
Yeah, he did. was okay. He could dance.
Was he a regular dancer on the show?
He actually started dancing on the show. He's an excellent dancer.
Did he go on to do dance?
No, he went on and his life turned around and for the worse and
okay,
you know, lost him and so.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
So how long was Oneness together?
Oneness stayed together 14 years.
So one thing that's interesting is you actually, and relates to Cincinnati also, is you ended up cutting a record that was not released.
Yeah, that was probably the low point of my singing career. We had hooked up with a group, AMRG Records.
AMG.
AMG. And they actually used to advertise, you know, looking for recording groups. And we actually went down, they were in the Time Life building at that time, and auditioned. And I don't think we finished the song. Yep, just what we want. And so we
in Time Life Building in Ohio.
No, we met them at the Time Life Building here, but we recorded in Cincinnati.
That's it, because it was a Cincinnati label, but there were a ton of Chicago groups who got on the label.
And yeah.
I heard stories about them setting up at like Holiday Inns, and
that's where we were.
Okay. And I heard it was like a weird thing where you had to like pay them to put it out.
Actually had to put up money, and I was the only one in the group that was working at the time, and I think they needed $3,000 from us, and back then $3,000 was quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
And we never could finish paying.
So you went there and recorded. So the material you recorded... Did they write the songs too?
They wrote the songs.
And they played the music and you went in and sang?
What they did, they gave us the lyrics and the music, and I arranged did the vocal arrangements.
Okay. We are lucky here. We actually have a recording of some of the stuff that was done.
Wow.
So hopefully it'll play without skipping on the CD player.
I hope so.
And I don't know the title of this, so do you remember what year this was done?
I want to say 77.
Okay, so this is Oneness, and this is actually really good, so we'll hear it right now. And this came out, or didn't come out, but it was recorded for the Ohio label, AMG Records. Okay, that was just a group called Oneness, who was actually the auditions, and that track was an unreleased record. I think it was called Hard to Get to Know, and it was unreleased, but it was recorded for the Cincinnati label AMG Records around 1977. So, and the other side of that is really good too. Maybe we'll play that if we have time near the end. So that record, you just didn't have enough money to get it out. So and up till then, you had just been touring and doing shows.
Yeah.
Were you doing music full time or just doing it on the side?
Doing it on the side. Everybody had full time jobs and couldn't devote the time to it. We weren't making money, so it then became a hobby.
What was the lineup on that record?
Lawrence Tank. Ron Wright, Milton Bo Johnson, Bertram Henderson, and Rex Alexander.
Were those the same five guys as on the previous record?
Yeah.
And who sings lead on it?
On this one, it's myself, Ron Wright, and Milton Bo Johnson, a three-part lead, and we interlock the backgrounds.
Yeah, you had a really nice 70s sound on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, one thing about a lot of those AMG records, they almost, what makes them so good for me is they almost had like a throwback sound because it was late 70s when disco was coming out.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of like groups doing kind of falsetto harmony on
yeah.
it, which, so you were doing that kind of late in the game, like a lot of groups were stopping there
yeah.
already. So did the group stay together after that record?
Well, the group stayed together until about 1986. And again, it was just doing shows when people needed somebody to appear. And if we could get a gig, we would do it. If not, we'd just practice.
Did you ever try to record again after that?
No.
Okay. So pretty much the only recordings of you were the two records that were released plus that unreleased record.
Plus that unreleased record.
And what were, so, and
we actually, I'm sorry, I am mistaken. We did do a couple other songs with Jim Stroud, who used to sing with the Notations. Jim Stroud and Brad Bobo.
Yeah.
We actually did a couple songs with them that never got released neither.
When was that?
That was early 80s. We actually took a.
And Jim was producing?
Yeah, Jim was going to produce the song.
And it just never came out?
Never came out. Wake Up People.
Okay. So, and then why, well, the group just broke up because you couldn't get work anymore? Like,
I really began to move my interest. I got interested in going into gospel music.
Okay. When did you start singing gospel? Well, you started singing gospel.
Yeah, I started singing gospel in the late 80s. And in the early 90s, I got involved in watching my daughter's career. She sings. And I started watching her career, and she started singing, and it sounded good. So she was singing in a choir at Holy Angels, the same place I started. And at that time, I said I didn't want to be involved with working with anybody, but this nun, Sister Sarah, convinced me to start working with this youth choir. And now that's where my heart and soul has been for the last 15 years.
So you said you started in the 80s?
I started singing gospel in the late 80s.
And then when did you start working with the youth choir?
Early 90s, mid-90s.
Okay, and you've been doing that for a while now?
Been doing it since then.
So where does your choir perform?
Their name is Nehemani Youth Gospel Choir, and we actually sing all over the country. We travel, it's been as far south as Mississippi. We've sang in Houston, Texas, Ohio, Upper Michigan, Grand Rapids, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Indiana.
How old are the members of the choir?
We actually took in our youngest member at one point was 10, and the age now, the oldest, is 27.
It's not that youth anymore. Not that young. So, is your choir based out of a specific church?
We originally was out of Holy Angels. We left Holy Angels about 3 years ago, and now we just sing wherever we're invited.
Okay. And
wherever he calls us.
Have you released any material?
We haven't yet, but we are at. Catherine, my daughter, has. She has a single out. But the choir is about prepared to go into the studio and do our... We've done two live CDs. But we're actually getting ready to go ahead and do a recorded CD.
Yeah, I hope that turns out well.
Man, that would be a great, something great.
What's the name of your daughter's single?
Catherine.
But I mean, what's that's the name of her record that she has out? Okay. And it's on CD, people can look for it?
You will be looking for it. It should be released in December.
Okay, well, I wish her much success on that, too.
Thank you.
So, thanks so much for coming up and telling your story.
Hey.
Do you have any last words for the listening audience?
Yeah. I just want to say a few things that if you have a dream, make sure you stick to it. If there's something you want to do, don't let anybody hold your dream back. Do it as you please. I want to say hello to all my family, Loretta and Catherine and Christine and my granddaughter, GD. Of course, to the Neomani members that I know are listening tonight, Malaika and Shaquilla and Lil Sierra and the Lawsons and Kendra and Elijah. So all you all guys, get ready for practice next week.
Everyone better be ready.
Be ready.
Okay, well, thanks again. And this last record I'm going to play, I guess I want to play the other side of the AMG record because this is also really good.
Thank you.
So this called I Was Always...
I Was Always There.
Okay, well, here it is.